Blog Talk Radio.
I received an email from Dr. Funkenberry was timed at right before 10:30. I did log in, checked in at live stream, but because I had to hurry up and prepare for to get the show started. I don't know. I think it's still going on. Prince and 3G live concert footage happening right now on live stream. It's important to get you a profile so you can receive notifications from Third Eye Girl so you know when events are happening. And also to subscribe to Dr. Funkenberry, also website. Had an amazing time Sunday morning where Dr. Funkenberry and Seth Everett really provided us with the 411 of what's going on with Prince. And my friends in New York City, you guys have a super good time as Prince will be presenting Shelby J and Liv Warfield of MPG, New Power Generation, from August the 20th to the 25th at the City Winery, New York. Okay? So, you know, visit the website and call the number. I give you the information if you don't already have it also before the end of the broadcast. But this is, I guess, the late night edition of Matters of the Heart Wednesday, Cut the Shock Entertainment Reports, and we're talking about fetishes. And, you know, pretty much touching the top, I guess, of fetishes, talking about about fetishes, because talking about them, I guess, it needs to be like a 2-3-part show. But if you want to call in or chat in the chat room about fetishes, please call in and talk about it. My research, I've been amazed at some of the fetishes, as in sexual fetishes, that some people have. It's just been amazing. You know, we all have something that we go to the stream in. I believe we all, some of you might say, no, I don't have a fetish, but I believe all of us, most of us, I won't say all, but most of us have a fetish or two, right? But there are some fetishes that I have never heard of that I stumbled upon. But I've always been interested in the topic of fetishes, from general fetishes to, you know, what we're talking about tonight when it comes to matters of the heart, fetishes, sex and love and romance and attraction, sexual attraction and all that. I think I lost my train of thought. It's been a while. I'm giddy about my birthday, so shout out to everyone who's celebrating a birthday this month. Leo, summer babies. You know, my actual birthday is on Sunday, and I'm recognizing the whole month. So, things. And I'm dealing with mixed emotions, excitement about certain things. And then we've been going through a heat advisory here. You know, it's so hot in the deep south in Jackson, Mississippi. And I know you guys have been experiencing our kind of weather in the northern states. And even Ebony Empress had told last time we spoke how hot it was in England, which they're not accustomed to. So we've been dealing with a heat advisory, and I've been doing my best to keep my pets cool. And, one of my pets, Cinnamon, is recovering from a skin irritation. So please pray for Cinnamon because she had lost her appetite. She regained it. But then with this heat, it was on its way back to normal, but it needs to get back to normal. You know, she is my doll. She is my heart. And so please pray for Cinnamon to recover. She's been recovering, but this heat advisory is not really helping, you know. And the weather people are advising the human beings, animals, everybody to be careful. And if we don't need to be in the heat, don't. You know, we need to stay hydrated, need to stay in shaded areas if we can. And those that are working and have to be exposed to the sun, you know to do their work or do whatever they're doing with caution, most definitely. But we are talking about fetishes, and please call in the chat. And I thought of that, even though I think about fetishes, what sparked my inspired me to discuss it today. Well, you know, last week we talked about how to deal with breakups and divorce and heartbreaks. And, you know, I just figured it was just taking us in a whole nother, you know, area instead of staying on that. But thank you for listening to that show live and in the archive, because I see a lot of people listen to that show and are still listening to it. I believe it's the featured show right now. If not, because there are a lot of shows I like to feature, so you all can, those of you that missed it or want to see it featured, I feature it. But if it's not the featured show I have right now, then it will be the next featured show. But please call in, chat with me in the chat room. It would be so much fun. Please excuse me if I am being hesitant, because I was caught in something I need to do. Okay. I had to do something right quick so I can run the show smoothly. But again, thank you. You're listening to Matters of the Heart, Wednesday Culture Shock Entertainment Report.
Like a motherfucker looking like a million. X say I got that shit that make them go crazy. current don't say nothing, but oh baby, still be out in the streets like I'm a free man, and you still coming up short, we man, I'm about to switch up the squad with the Reed man, pull up with an 18, and no minivan, pop a bottle fam, got them eating up game like 100 grand, playing sex games, how will everybody win, I see a couple more contestants, let them in, come on, let them in.
Have you coming in six games, back-to-back, Elder Barge Jr. Here's KC Munchkin, also known as Dylan of SeaWorld High Fashion. Know what love is. He will be returning soon, September 14th. Club Culture Shot reports live. Test. That's what you can do, baby. And listen to Matters of the Heart Wednesday and check out live stream Third Eye Girl Profile. Supposedly live concert footage, 3EG, Third Eye Girl and Prince concert footage supposed to be happening right now at live stream on their profile page. Okay, now I've been researching and preparing for this particular show for probably since last week, and what sparked my interest to also name the show Fetishes, I was corresponding with my friend Demetra Egmontis. You all know her, erotica author, amazing online friend of mine, and she and I were corresponding with one another, and she mentioned to me that she was at the Fetish Conference in Tampa, and that sounds very interesting. Like it was a very interesting conference. A lot of information and a lot of fun, you know. And it just sparked my interest, and I'm like, wow, that would be a good show idea to talk about and to touch on fetishes. And hopefully in the near future, she will come on not only to promote her amazing book, but then also to talk about that topic, also that subject matter. So wow. So I like to give credit where credit is due, don't you? But coming from a whole other angle, because I was gonna go ahead and just go right into defining fetishes and then go through like some of the fetishes that some of us might not know of or might not be a fetish of ours, but. And you can't say who's right or wrong. You can't say, oh, you're wrong for having a fetish like that. We all have our freedom and right to have a fetish that is not harmful to anyone, ourselves or anyone else, right? So, you know, because there's one particular fetish where I come across in doing my research, and I mentioned this during my last broadcast, where some people get off by another person's fart. Now, that is... wow. I mean, a fart would turn on certain people. You know, some of you listening might get turned on by farts. So I'm not saying you're right or wrong, but it's just, I had never heard of that. You know, so that is some fetish to have. And, you know, so of course, you all know how much I love Ask Men. So just now, I just checked out what Ask Men have to say about the top 10 fetishes, and I really was going to start from a whole other perspective, more of a nerdy perspective and definition and Wikipedia definitions and all that, but AskMen.com talks about, in the dating sex area, talks about, and women and sexuality, talks about the top 10 fetishes, and also talks about how a guy can reveal his fetish to his love interest. And this article was composed by Vanessa Burton, an S-Man contributor, women's sexuality correspondent. And her article goes on to say that some people aren't sure if they even have a fetish, while others think that their fetishes are abnormal. So what is a fetish? If you have a fetish, you are obsessively fixated on either an object or a body part. You need a specific something for sexual gratification. When you masturbate, underline and highlight, you fantasize about that particular thing. Even if you have sex with a partner, you still need to fantasize about that object or have it present for you to get off. For instance, if you're attracted to brunettes, that's one thing. But if you are unable to get aroused unless you're with a brunette, then you likely have a fetish for brunettes. Interesting. History of fetishes. And then Ant-Man goes on to say that the word fetish originally meant charm. And it originates from the 15th century Portuguese word fetico, which means false power. Object or charm, for example, when the Portuguese explored West Africa and encountered native religions, they called whatever talisman, totem, carvings, beads, they revered a fetish. To the Portuguese in those days, the fetishists were those who worshipped the unusual. Later on, however, the implication of the word took on a whole different meaning. First, a fetish involves the transfer of power from an original source onto a substitute. Second, a fetishist is someone who operates outside the circle of what is characteristically considered normal. Yeah, right. What is normal nowadays? Exactly. Exactly. That's why I say, this is my opinion. I believe that most of us, if not all of us, have at least one or two fetishes, something that we are fixated on. Types of fetishes. There are many diverse kinds of fetishes. Depending on the object being fetishized, inanimate fetishes come in three varieties, media, form, and animate. In a media fetish, material is what is obsessed over. Media fetishes include rubber, leather, latex, and silk. With a form fetish, it's the shape of the object that has great significance. Stiletto heels, knee-high boots, and lingerie fall into this category. Feet, hair, butts, breasts, and all that good stuff are also considered fetishes. And some penises, right? Because I know I have that fetish. And that probably comes from when I used to, as a little girl, I used to sneak into my sister's stash of Playgirl magazine. I love Playgirl. I've always wanted to publish pictures or my writings or interviews in Playgirl. When Colleen Kane was a publisher with Playgirl, she can tell you I was working tirelessly to get my work into Playgirl and as a freelance. And and I hope to still do. But it probably started when I used to look at my sister's, find her stash of Playgirls. And you know, I was a little girl, so I really didn't look at the penises. But I love the eroticism. I love the stories, the comedies, the erotic stories being told, and the descriptions. And so my fixation with penises, probably. I know some of you thought I was gay, huh? I know. But really, fixated with penises started at a young age. You know, I mean, I had no business looking at the sessions back then, but, you know, looking at the Playgirl and not looking, actually looking at the, like I told you, the pictures I really didn't look at the pictures because I'm a little girl. I didn't know anything about penises, really. But I love the stories. I love the descriptions. I love the advertisements. And knee-high boots. Anyone who knows me, I'm working on getting back in, back into my fashionista ways. But I love knee-high boots. I love stiletto heels. I've been very humble the past. But I love those objects, you know, on myself. And then it's appealing to the eye when you see other people. You know, maybe that's why I'm fixated with, I love Prince at the time. I was looking into the Playgirl stashes. What does he like to wear? Heels. And back in the day, he wore the knee-high boots also. And definitely he always have loved intimate apparel. You know, so I'm just giving you examples. I don't deny my fixations, you know, or my fetishes. I know I have more than one or two, you know. So me, average woman, Mississippi, born and raised, If I do, I know many of you do also. But then it goes on to the feet, hair, butts, breasts, and all that good stuff are also considered fetishes. Since these objects are human, they're called inanimate fetishes. People can turn anything into a fetish. There are different degrees of fetishism that go from mild to extreme. Yeah, because I've seen an image of a girl in a tub of cheese toes. So she has a fetish for, like, Cheetos, the cheese puffs, you know? So I'm like, wow. You know, there are all kind of fetishes out there, you know, because we can talk about fetishes, non-sexual fetishes. There's some wild ones out there where people are just, we can't say, oh, you're wrong for having that fetish, because what gets someone, that's what, you know, that's them. It goes on to say also that people can turn anything into fetish. There are different degrees of fetishism, spelled F-E-T-I-S-H-I-S-M, that go from the mouth to the stream. It's quite easy to tell whether your fetish is getting out of hand. Exactly. That's a whole other point, you know. I've posted videos of fetish clubs around the world, like the top fetish clubs, you know, that are especially popular with the goth culture. And I'm, you know, I grew up part of the goth culture, so, you know, and going to raves and all that. But there's a documentary about all the, like the top fetish clubs around the world. I mean, around the world. It is an amazing documentary. You guys must check it out. Visit my Tumblr page. I have a lot of fetish articles, fetish videos about the different subject matters on my Tumblr page, most definitely, at kultureshokentbeth.tumblr.com, okay? So it's amazing, amazing work. And some of you might can share also more information, because this is just the beginning of the topic, to be honest. Okay, the top 10 fetishes. Stomach. Men and women both agree that taut tummies make them somewhat crazy. Yeah, I'm working on getting my tummy taut. But others said that they would never bed a potential partner if their tummies protrude or hung loosely. Some guys weren't as picky and admitted that they liked it when a woman had a tummy with a teensy-weensy little pot. One gentleman was very adamant about needing to release himself on a woman's stomach, or his experience simply wouldn't be pleasurable. Then there's number 9, body piercing. This one was quite popular with the younger crowd, 18 to 35. Everything from belly buttons to tongues and nipples to eyebrows and penises was not only acceptable, but for a specific few, it was a prerequisite. One guy asked men that he loves tongue rings because after being pleasured by a girl who had one, he couldn't go back to the ordinary. The feeling of the cool object rubbing against his penis while her hot mouth engulfed him felt like heaven. One of my friends who is in Dallas, Facebook friends named Damien, he posted something on his Facebook page tonight, and it was hilarious. So he might be listening to the show. He said women who wear tongue rings and don't give head, they should be, he said something about that's false advertisement. that made me laugh. He tells some funny jokes on his Facebook page. My friend Damien in Big D, a city I love. But number 8, leather, rubber, vinyl, latex. Men seem to love material, perhaps not the actual feel of it, but the rather pornographic quality it gives to a sexual encounter. Although men look to settle down for a sweet woman, most will forever have a fixation with that bad girl look. Watching a woman move around in anything tight and shiny is a tease in itself. Says one gentleman. Another man told me that his girlfriend's entire wardrobe consists of latex and leather. And then there's number 7, domination and submission. The author says that to her amazement, Most women dominate and most guys submit. Hello, a lot of women said they love to order their men around in bed like slaves and spank them, smack them, and even penetrate them with a strap-on. Guys, on the other hand, enjoy submitting to women and being told what to do. I guess most of them are probably tired of performing all the time. Everything I mentioned that the women do, well, the men enjoy having those done to them. Welcome to the new millennium. I bet Belinda Bostic with Summer Parties by Belinda Bostic can really provide us with a lot of fun ideas also. Number six, feet and hands. You knew this fetish was coming, didn't you? Men enjoy licking, sucking, kissing, biting women's feet. And you know what? Some women do also. That's why, you know, men, it's important for you to get your mani-pedis also. Because, you know, some women like you to have nice feet, kissable feet. Men also licking, sucking, kissing, and biting women's feet almost exclusively. Some guys simply can't date a woman if she has ugly feet or toes. You know what? P. Diddy is one guy who openly talks about he has to see a woman's feet first. Before he confirms that he's interested. women, the writer says, I was surprised to learn, love to suck on men's fingers, and some can even orgasm off that alone. See, there's something about pleasure in a man's finger as though it was a penis that gives me orgasmic pleasure, said a woman from Seattle. That's what she told the author of this article. And then it goes on to say, number five is fingernails and lipstick. It's the cliche of the 80s, red lipstick and long red lacquered fingernails. Well, guess what? Some guys are still obsessed with the whole thing. They enjoy feeling a woman's nails running down their back. As well, they like kissing a woman and smudging their lipstick all over both their faces. Why? Because it gives them the feeling of having adulterated sex, example, sex with a prostitute. Number four, braids, ponytails, and pigtails. Hair is no surprise. It's a very big fetish among guys. Blonde, brunette, redheaded, braided, long, short, thick, curly, straight, you name it. They thought of it, but braids, pigtails, and ponytails caught my attention. I have two theories as to why some men are into pigtails. First, they have a preference for younger women, to say the least. And because of the illusion that pigtails and ponytails emanate, the fetishists feel as though they are fulfilling their desire. Second, when the hair is tied up in these various ways, it can resemble a whip to a certain extent. Women can whip me with their hair, the ultimate turn-on, said one man from Boston. I can definitely see the latter example as working. And then some women have a fetish involving no hair. Bald men. They love rubbing a man's bald head whilst in a passionate embrace. Did you hear that, Costanza? You're actually preferred by women. Number three, water. Believe it or not, many variants of water were popular with both men and women. Many women declared that they enjoyed sex best when they could hear or be in running water, whether it be rain, the shower, or even an open faucet, so long as they heard water of some sort. You know what? It is something about water. It is something about rain. It is something about being near water. So, yeah, to me, it definitely is a turn-on. So long as they heard water of some sort. And I don't know if it's about hearing the water or smelling the water. It's about hearing it and smelling smelling rain. But although it's not exactly water, many women and some men are absolutely obsessed over thunder and lightning. The powerful sound and sudden flashes of light give my body a feeling of empowerment. My husband and I make plans to meet whenever we know that a storm is in effect, said a woman from Colorado. Yeah, there is something just amazing about rain. To me. Number two, golden showers. I know this one doesn't sound very inviting, but it's a very popular one. Some guys love to watch women urinate on them as a method of foreplay. I heard of that a long time ago from one of my friends who lived in Hong Kong, and he had told me some things. I was a teenager when he told me these things, and I was like, what? Working at merry-go-round, and the stories that were told were, like, amazing stories. But other guys like to leave themselves on women before they can actually get down to business. Why? Well, the reason for this is also deals of submission, been peed on is somewhat degrading. And if you allow someone to do it to you, then you're submitting. And if you do it to someone else, then they are succumbing to you. And then number one, voyeurism and exhibitionism. And a lot of us are familiar with that, right? A lot of guys admitted that they couldn't get off with their partner unless they were watching pornography or another couple in the act. Even if they witnessed two people having sex or caught some erotic movies on television accidentally, yeah, right, but not with their partner, they had to masturbate. Only a minute amount of women admitted that they are voyeuristic to the point that they needed to see sex whilst engaged in it. Oddly enough, however, quite a few women like being watched. One woman from New Orleans wrote, "I make sure to open the blinds fully before I make love with my partner." Yeah, some people like to watch and some people like to be watched. And then there's the "you're not alone." And there you have it, gentlemen, because this is from Ask Men. But, you know, we women like to spy, too. You guys need to read Cosmopolitan and Vogue and other magazines for women, too, more often. 10 common fetishes among the human species. While some fetishes can be seen as more particular than others, most people go through phases where they're obsessed about a certain object, act, or body part. Fetishes are highly widespread and are not abnormal in any way. So, wow. So I shared this particular article on Twitter and Facebook, and I believe Google One also. But now I am going to go to this list that I ran across a few days ago preparing for the show. And I believe this is the list, because I've done a lot of research and a lot of studies. And I'll be headed back to the studio in case some of you are calling or in the chat room. That list does not want to come up. But I have shared, I believe this is the list that I shared a few days ago. Oh, that's an interesting article I'm running across about how Matthew Perry pitched it. NBC sitcom he had co-written about a group of 20-somethings. Made me think about me. You know, I have this idea of a reality show. So I hope to see it come alive. That's an interesting article right there. But it's not the article that I want to share right now, but that's about how Friends was created. Okay. Okay, and here it is. Now, this is from the Date Report. How about we? And this article was published last September, almost a year ago, by Divine Carolyn. And she talks about the subject matter of 18 sexual fetishes that sound made up, but they're not. And she goes on to write that people often use the word fetish as a label for any sort of sexual practice or interest that deviates from the norm. But how many of us actually know what it means? Fetishism refers to an intense fixation on a particular object, basically the belief that certain objects overpower the individual. The most commonly known types of fetishes are sexual in nature. A sexual fetish requires a particular item's presence for sexual arousal. And then it goes on to the list. Interesting types of fetishes. And this is a fetish, and I hope I can pronounce some of these names of some of these fetishes as unique as they are. Emetophobia. Philia, becoming sexually aroused by vomit. People with this fetish may find themselves lurking near frat houses on Fridays around 3 a.m. Diaper fetishism, a strong inclination toward wearing diapers. Now, we see that pretty often, right? Whether or not the diaper fetishist uses the diaper for its intended purpose is a matter of preference. Coprolalia, being turned on by someone using profanity. Fuck, shit, ass, do you want me now? And blood fetish, the belief that blood has supernatural qualities. Angelina Jolie once wore a vial of her then-husband, Billy Bob Thornton's blood around her neck. Dracula or fetishes? You decide. Robot fetishism, also called as technosexuality. It refers to sexual attraction to robots or human dressed as robots. I bet Vicky from the show Small World got a lot of fan mail from these fetishes. And then there's algalmatophilia. Similar to robot fetishism, it involves sexual arousal from mannequins or statues. I've heard of that fetish. I wasn't sure of the name of it. This makes the writer think of Kim Cattrall in the movie Mannequin in a very different way. Yeah, Mannequin. Somnophilia. Somnophiliacs use the jollies from watching people sleep. Perhaps the makers of Ambien and Lunesta need to rethink who they're targeting with their marketing campaigns. Wow. Okay. Satan fetishism. Arousal from the look or feel of sex. Not Satan, but Satan fetishism. I love satin and silk. Arousal from the look or feel of satin by either wearing it or seeing it. I think I might have a satin and a silk fetish. Watch out for the creepy person in the corner of a fabric store. Lovingly fingering the rims of satin, inhaling the aroma. I don't know if I'm that far, though. Dorophilia, sexual excitement from leather, skin, or fur. This seems kind of tame in the world of fetishes, like something the ladies of Real Housewives of Orange County might have if they had a fetish. And then there's urolagnia, finding urine or the act of urinating sexually pleasing. Golden showers, an act derived from urolagnia, and illustrated in a few controversial videos involving R. Kelly, refers to peeing on someone or being peed on for sexual pleasure. And then there's cross-eyed fetish. Not sure what the scientific name for this fetish is, but this is news for Danielle Lynn Burkhead and Anna Nicole's cross-eyed offspring. Oh, my goodness, that's not nice to say. That's a pretty old girl. Then there's dendrophilia. This is a sexual attraction to trees. Probably explains why a select few tree huggers take it a few steps further and become tree humpers. I hadn't seen anybody humping a tree, but I believe it. Garment fetishism, the eroticism of articles of clothing or uniforms. No wonder we see so many naughty nurses, slutty secretaries, and mischievous milkmaidens wandering around every Halloween. And then there's pictophilia, sexual excitement from pictures and videos of sex. People like watching sex. Now, there's a shocker. Pictophilia. I think a lot of us are pictophilia. Pyrophilia. One aspect of this fetish involves deriving pleasure from intercourse with a burning corpse. Oh, my God. I have no idea how this will work, but it seems like there might be some serious logistical issues, not to mention medical dangers. Wow. I remember I heard a story a few years ago where these guys broke into this funeral home and had sex with a corpse. I wonder if that's what that is. Retifism, having sexual feelings towards shoes, feet, heels. So that's why Carrie Bradshaw had all those manolos. Taphophilia. Being burned alive is the way to get off. It better be one good orgasm. Remember when Chris Angel was burned alive? Can't wait till his new show premieres in October on FX. Arachnophilia, sexual attraction to spiders. These fetishes are typically big fans of the granddaddy long-legged species. And then they go on to say that this is just a sampling of some of the fetishes that were found while digging around online, but there are thousands, maybe millions. Yeah, because I know there's, I've run across so many. More which made the writer wonder if the people who don't have fetishes are really the ones with the so-called dysfunction. Of course, she says that she's sure that relying on a single item for sexual gratification is completely normal. I guess it all depends on what the fetish is and whether or not it results in risky behavior. That's what I was saying. As long as it's safe for you and safe for others. You know, some people like to dress up, like, you know, in costumes and, like, big stuffed animal costumes and have fetishes with that. For example, some people find panty or foot fetishes odd, but unnecessarily a cause of alarm. It's when a particular fetish interferes with sexual function or creates an unsafe environment. See, there are other fetishes that you can check out, like pyrophilia, tamphophilia. And then it goes on to say that it might be time to pivot to your shrink and delve deep into your childhood. See, I delved into my childhood talking about how I sneak and look into my sister's playgirls, special playgirls. And I have a penis fetish. I practice sexual abstinence right now, but sexual abstinence are not. I have a fetish to penises. But no matter what your fetish, if you can find someone to share it with, but it's under control, it's controllable. But no matter what your fetish, if you can find someone to share it with and it doesn't negatively interfere with your everyday life, I say let your fetish flag fly. Based on the 10 million websites that come up when you type fetish into Google, I'm guessing that finding a partner in crime would be no problem. And again, Divine Caroline Arthur, that article about fetishes, and that is just amazing. Okay, Wikipedia also goes into saying that sexual fetishism or erotic fetishism is the sexual arousal a person receives from a physical object or from a specific situation. The object or situation of interest is called a fetish. The person who has a fetish for that object situation is a fetishist. Spelled F-E-T-I-S-H-I-S-T. A sexual fetish may be regarded as an enhancing element to romantic / sexual relationship achieved in ordinary ways. Example, having a partner wear a particular garment or as a mental disorder of sexual preference if it causes significant psychosocial distress for the person or has detrimental effects on important areas of their life. Arousal from a particular body part is classified as partalism. And then they go on to say that the overview is that the word fetish derives from the French fetiche, which comes from the Portuguese fetico, spell, meaning spell, which in return derives from the Latin fetitius, meaning artificial, and fetere, to make. A fetish is an object believed to have supernatural powers, or in particular, a man-made object that has power over others. Essentially, fetishism is the attribution of inherent value or powers to an object. The terms erotic fetish and sexual fetish were first introduced by Alfred Binet. Sometimes the word fetish may be thought synonymous to sexual fetish. For example, when using pornography based on sexual fetishes, if a sexual fetish causes significant psychosocial distress for the person or has detrimental effects on important areas of the life, it is diagnosable as a paraphilia in the DSM and ICD. Many people embrace their fetish rather than attempting treatment to rid themselves of it, especially in an age where they can easily find communities of like-minded people via the Internet. In a review of the files of all cases over a 20-year period which met criteria from non-travestic fetishes in a teaching hospital, 48 cases were identified, and the objects of the fetishes included clothing, 58.3%, rubber and rubber items, 22.9%, footwear, 14-6%, body parts, 14-6%, leather jackets and vests, and the leather items, 10.4%, and soft materials and fabrics, 6.3%. Type Alfred Binet, a French psychologist, lawyer, and hypnotist, proposed that fetishes be classified as either spiritual love or plastic love. Spiritual love occupied the devotion for a specific mental phenomena, such as attitudes, social class, or occupational roles, while Plastic love referred to the devotion exhibited towards material objects such as animals, body parts, garments, textures, or shoes. The existential approach to mental disorders developed in the 1940s and influenced a view that fetishes had complex personal meanings beyond the general categories of psychoanalytical treatment. For instance, the Austrian neurologist and the local therapist Viktor Frankl once noted the case of a man with a sexual fetish involving simultaneously both frogs and glue. However, Frankl logotherapy is but one of the dozens of psychological systems or methods of psychotherapy that compete with psychoanalysis. The concept of spiritual love is not accepted globally because it is impossible to fully define what exactly spiritual love. Mental phenomena, attitudes, and social class are all things that can be obsessed over, but it's hard to prove that they would be sexual obsession. It is also hard to incorporate any ideal into a sexual act or stimulation. However, a mental obsession, such as an ideal or excessive thought, can be progressed into a plastic love. For example, role-playing. The person has a mental obsession with cowboys, their partner could dress up as a cowboy to make it real, theme, or plastic love. And, you know, we talk about role-playing. Remember the morning that Belinda Bostic and Dean, filmmaker, investor, you know, we were talking about role-playing, and some other callers had called in one morning. Remember that? But psychological origins and development. Early psychology assumed that fetishism either is being conditioned or imprinted or the result of a strong emotional, possibly traumatic or physical experience. Often these experiences occurred in early childhood. For example, an individual who has been physically abused, they either have a sexual obsession with intercourse, or they could be completely terrified by even the idea of being touched. It is assumed that those who have been sexually abused create an obsession with being touched or touching others and possibly even abuse someone else. For example, an individual who has been physically abused could either have a sexual obsession with intercourse, or they could be completely terrified by even the idea of being touched. It is assumed that those who have been sexually abused create an obsession with being touched or touching others, and possibly even abuse someone else. Physical factors like genetic disposition are another common possible explanation. In the following, the most important theories are presented in a chronological order. Alfred Binet suspected fetishism was the pathological result of associations, accidentally simultaneous presentations of a sexual stimulus and an inanimate object, he argued, led to the object being permanently connected to sexual arousal. The sexologist Magnus Hirschfeld followed another line of thought when he proposed his theory of partial attractiveness in 1920. According to his argument, sexual attractiveness never originates in a person as a whole, but always is the product of the interaction of individual features. He stated that nearly everyone had special interests and thus suffered from a healthy kind of fetishism. That's what I was saying. You know, those are my thoughts. While only detaching and overvaluing of a single feature resulted in pathological fetishism. Today, Hirschfeld's theory is often mentioned in the context of gender role-specific behavior. Females present sexual stimuli by highlighting body parts, clothes, or accessories. Males react to them. Sigmund Freud believed that sexual fetishism in men derived from the unconscious fear of the mother's genitals, from men's universal fear of castration, and from man's fantasy that his mother had had a penis, but that it had been cut off. He did not discuss sexual fetishism in women. In 1951, Donald Winnicott presented his theory of transitional objects and phenomena. According to which childish actions like thumb sucking and objects like cuddly toys are a source of manifold adult behavior, amongst many other fetishisms. The use of transitional objects in infancy is a healthy experience. Winnicott, 1953. To understand the origin of a fetish object and of fetishism, the infant use of the transitional object and of transitional phenomena in general must be studied. That's Winnicott, 1953. In his article, Transitional Objects and Phenomena, Winnicott says about fetish, fetish can be described in terms of persistence with a specific object or type of object dating from infantile experience in the traditional field linked with delusion of a maternal phallus. That's Winnicott, 1953. In other words, a special object or type of object dating from experience in a period where the mother gradually pulls back as an immediate provider of satisfaction of the child's desire. This is a characteristic in adult sexual life. But before the transitional phase, the child believes that his own wish creates the object of desire, specifically the qualities of his mother that fulfill his needs, which brings with it a sense of satisfaction. In this phase, the child gradually adapts to frustrating realization that the object cannot be controlled to serve the child's needs. Then it goes to say the transitional object is always a result of gratifying relationship with the mother. And it's just the water. Specifically, with the maternal body, it stands for the satisfying qualities that the object, the mother, father, of the first relationship the child has. The child adapts to the impact of the realization that the mother is not always there to bring the world to him. So fantasizing about the object of his desire by using an object, a teddy bear, piece of cloth, creates an illusion of the previous object. In relation to the transitional object, the infant passes from magical, omnipotent control to control by manipulation involving muscle eroticism and coordination pleasure. In opposition to this, the fetish represents the impossibilities of pleasure with the body of the mother, the paternal body, in the case of females. Fetishisms, although less abundant in occurrence in the female psyche, are a different nature. It's not the monopoly of men. I feel like I'm in psychology class again. The transitional object may eventually develop into a fetish object, and so persist as a characteristic of the adult sexual life. Winnicott, 1953. Normally, the child gains some experience of frustration in the transitional phase, although the infant can be disturbed by a close adaptation to need that is continued too long or is not allowed its natural decree. Oh, you guys know James Franco would be roasted on Comedy Central. They're doing the astral taping on the 18th, and it will be broadcasted on Comedy Central on Labor Day, if I'm not mistaken, on September the 2nd. And, you know, his best friend, Seth Rogen, will be hosting the event, and I know it's going to be an amazing show. I have so much fun networking with he and his brother Dave, and also on Twitter with his mom and his grandma. Just wanted to plug that because, you know, he has, Lovelace with a cast of stars coming out this weekend. And then he has his film that he directed, Child of God. And then he has another film that he filmed here in Mississippi that would be released in limited theaters across America on September 27th based on the Will Faulkner's novel, As I Lay Dying. And so I just wanted to plug that right quick. So hello, James, if you're listening to the broadcast. He's in New York. He has a book signing scheduled for Friday, I know, and other works to do. And then also one of the websites also published pictures of him shopping. But he posts some amazing pictures. So on his Facebook page and Instagram and Twitter, he's amazing to network with. And then let me go on here. I just want to take a break between talking about all of the psychology of fetishes. Behaviorism trace fetishism back to classical conditioning. It came up with numerous specialized theories. The common theme running through all of them is that sexual stimulus and a fetish object are presented simultaneously, causing them to be connected in the learning process. My tongue got caught in the word. That's what I was giggling about. Causing them to be connected in the learning process. This is similar to Binet's early theory that differs in that it specifies association to classical conditioning. And leaves out any judgment about that pathogenicity. The super similar theory stressed that fetishes could be the result of generalization. For example, it may only be shiny skin that arouses a person at first, but in time, more common stimuli, such as shiny latex, may have the same effect. The problem with such a theory is that classical conditioning normally needs many repetitions, but this form will require only one. To account for this, preparedness theory was put forward. It stated that reacting to an object with sexual arousal could be the result of the evolutionary process. Because such a reaction could prove to be useful for survival and point to how conditioned sexual behavior can persist over time. One may cite how in 2004, when quails were trained to copulate a piece of terry cloth, their conditioning was sustained through ongoing repetition. Because of classical conditioning, seems to be unable to explain how the conditioned behavior is kept alive over many years. Without any repetition, some behaviors came up with a theory that fetishism was a result of a special form of conditioning called imprinting. Such conditioning happens during a specific time in early childhood in which sexual orientation is imprinted into the child's mind and remains there for the rest of his or her life. Various neurologists pointed out that fetishism can be the result of neuronal cross-links between neighboring regions in the human brain. For example, in 2002, Villanueva S. Ramachandran stated that the region processing sensory input from the feet lies immediately next to the region processing sexual stimulation. Today, psychodynamics has parted with the idea of proposing one explanation for all fetishes at the same time. Instead, it focuses one form of fetishism at a time and the patient's individual problems. Over the past decades, various case studies have been published in which fetishism is successfully linked to emotional problems. Some argue that a lack of parental love leads a child to project its affection into inanimate objects. Others state, in consent with Freud's model of psychosexual development, that premature expression of sexuality can lead to a child getting stuck in a transitory phase. One of Freud's defense mechanisms, displacement, is the redirection of an impulse onto a substitute target. Someone who feels uncomfortable with their sexual desire for a real person may therefore substitute a fetish. And then it goes to say that in the modern theory and treatment area, psychologists and medical practitioners regard fetishism as normal variations of human sexuality. Even those orientations that are potential forms of fetishism are usually considered unobjectionable as long as people involved feel comfortable. Only the diagnostic criteria presented in the detail below are met is the medical diagnosis of the fetishism justified. The leading criterion is that a fetishist is only ill if he or she suffers from the condition, not simply because of the condition itself. And then dealing with diagnosis, according to the ICD-10-GM version, 2005, fetishism is the use of inanimate objects as a stimulus to achieve sexual arousal and satisfaction. In most cases said, object is required for sexual gratification. The corresponding ICD code for fetishism is F65.0. The diagnostic criteria for fetishism are as follows. Bullet point one, unusual sexual fantasies, drives, or behaviors occur over a time span of at least 6 months. Sometimes unusual sexual fantasies occur and vanish by themselves. In this case, any medical treatment is not necessary. But the affected person, their object, or another person experience impairment of distress in multiple functional areas. Functional area refers to different aspects of life, such as private, social contact, job, etc. It is sufficient for the diagnosis if one of the participants has been hurt or mistreated in any way. A correct diagnosis in terms of the ICD manual stipulates hierarchical proceedings. That is, first, the criteria for F65 must be fulfilled, and those for F65.0 as criteria are not repeated in substances. This could be mistakable, to laymen or medics that have not been educated in the use of this manual. Furthermore, according to the ICD, a sexual attraction to specific parts of features of the human body and even inanimate parts of corpse under no circumstances are fetishism, even though some of them may the forms of paraphilia. I know. That's something. According to the DSM-IV-TR, fetishism is the use of non-living objects as stimulus to achieve sexual arousal satisfaction. This only applies if the objects are not specifically designed for sexual stimulation. Example, vibrator. The corresponding DSM code for fetishism is 302.81. The diagnostic criteria are basically the same as those of ICD. In the DSM and manual, all diagnostic criteria are given in the corresponding section of the textbook. Example, know how archaeal prostitution is needed. Both definitions are the result of lengthy discussions and multiple revisions. Still today, arguments go on whether a specific diagnosis, fetishism, is needed at all if a paraphilia is such as sufficient. Some demand the diagnosis to be abolished completely to no longer stigmatize fetishes. Example, Project Revised F-55. Those of you in this field know what all of this means. Others who demand that it be specified even more to prevent scientists from confusing it with the popular use of the term fetishism. And other researchers argue that it should be expanded to cover other sexual orientations, such as sexual attraction to words of fire. Most physicians do not say that a man finds a woman attractive because she is dressed in high heels. This is something, of course, that has an abnormal fetish. And then the treatment. There are three possible treatments for fetishism: cognitive behavior therapy and psychoanalysis. Our behavior supervision on proportional timing when I'm practicing any sexual activity, activating the fetish. But most fetishes that we would be talking about, I'm assuming, would be the topic of very healthy fetishes. Okay, then it's cognitive behavior therapy. Cognitive behavior therapy seeks to change a person's behavior by analyzing how and why it has shown up. Rather than focusing on the origin of fetishes, cognitive behavior therapy is built on the empirical study of interventions that eliminate the distress associated with them. Cognitive behavior therapy primarily focuses on helping patients tune into automatic thoughts and affect patients' mood and behavior. As patients become more aware of their automatic thoughts, they learn to alter irrational thoughts and resolve contradictions that lead to distress. A common goal of cognitive therapy in the treatment of fetishes is helping the patient realize the rationality of identifying with a disliked fetish. A form of cognitive globalization doesn't lead to self-judgment. The following is not cognitive behavior therapy and should not be confused with it. One therapeutic technique is aversive conditioning, which entails presenting patients with a displeasing stimulus with the fetish as soon as sexual arousal starts. Another therapeutic technique is called thought stopping, in which the therapist asks the patient to think of the fetish and suddenly cries out, "Stop!" The patient will be irritated and the line of thought broken. If the analyzing the face of a sudden break together, the therapist would teach the patient to use this technique by himself or herself to interrupt thoughts about the fetish and thus avoid the undesired behavior. Medication. Various pharmaceutical drugs are available that inhibit the production of sex steroids, especially male testosterone and female estrogen. By cutting down the level of sex steroids, sexual desires diminish. Thus, in theory, a person may gain the ability to control the fetish and reasonably process their own thoughts by being distracted by sexual arousal. Also, the application may give the person relief in everyday life, enabling them to ignore the fetish and get back to daily routine. Other researchers assume that fetishes may be like obsessive compulsive disorders and has looked into the use of psychiatric drugs, serotonin reuptake inhibitor, dopamine blockers, for controlling paraphilias and interfering with a person's ability to function. Although ongoing research has shown positive results in single case studies of some drugs, example, with topiramate, there's not yet any medicament that tackles fetishism itself because of that physical treatment is only suitable to support one's psychological methods. And then, you know, there's other topics that we can go into. Clothing fetish, and I posted like images of the different type of fetishes from clothing to nails. I love my black nails. My nails are black now. PVC clothing, counterphobic attitude, fetish clubs, fetish fashion. It just goes on and on about the different fetishes and also books that one can check out also. So I'm going to head to the chat room in the studio to see what's popping. Next live broadcast will be on Friday morning, because we're going to talk about the Saints. Well, and the Kansas City game is coming up Friday. It's kicking off my birthday weekend, and can't wait. I'm super excited. But we all know games. About 5 or 6 games happening Thursday night. Then we had games happening on Friday night. A shout out to my friend Matthew Lifeguard in Baltimore. He might be calling us on Friday morning. I invited him to call in to talk sports. You know, I'll be talking about the Saints in Kansas City, and then the Cowboys also have a game also on Friday night. So I'll be tuned to the Saints in Kansas City. And my friend Matthew from Baltimore, I hope will call in to talk about the Redskins, RG3, because that would be good to see what's going on. Because if you're a sports fan or an NFL lover, most definitely call in, regardless of who my favorite teams are. I mean, let's talk sports. We're in this together, those of us that love sports lovers, you know. And so that's all good right there. Most definitely. I need to drink some more water. Oh, my goodness. Yes. It is after midnight. I need to play Midnight Dream by Charisma of Istanbul, Turkey. Around midnight, it's always the perfect time to play that song. Midnight Dreams. I love my midnight dreams. Okay. Okay. I know I get quiet, huh? I'm just I'm looking at the playlist, and then I was just thinking there's so much to talk about. So much to talk about. Here's a Crazy Series of Istanbul, Turkey, also known as Charisma.
Thank you. En la Asociación Americana del Club. En la Asociación Americana del Pulmón, luchamos por el día en que todos podamos respirar más fácilmente. Luchamos por cielos claros sobre todas las ciudades y pulmones saludables en todo el país. Luchamos por mantener el humo de otros fuera de nuestros espacios públicos y lugares de trabajo. Y luchamos para liberar a millones de estadounidenses de la adicción al tabaco y los efectos devastadores de las enfermedades pulmonares. Luchamos por un día en que los niños no tengan que luchar contra la contaminación en sus propias casas y tengan temor a un ataque de asma. La Asociación Americana del Pulmón no solo está luchando por el aire, luchamos por todas las cosas por las que vale la pena respirar. Y necesitamos su ayuda. Únase a la lucha. Visite luchandoporelaire.org y lea sobre algunas de las muchas formas en las que la Asociación Americana del Pulmón lucha para proteger el aire que respiramos, dentro y fuera de casa. Conozca más en luchandoporelaire.org.
At the American Lung Association, we're fighting for a day when we can all breathe easier. We're fighting for clear skies over every city and healthy lungs throughout the country. We're fighting to free millions of Americans from the addictive grip of tobacco and the devastating effects of lung disease. The American Lung Association isn't just fighting for air, we're fighting for all the things that make it worth breathing, and we can use your help. See what you can do at fightingforair.org.
Hey, we have Ebony Empress. Hi, Ebony.
Hiya.
Hello, the Empress is here. Hi. What's going on?
I'm good. I'm just woken up and I'm just listening in before I get into work.
Oh, good.
Yeah, good. So I saw your little show and I thought, like.
Just in time, too, because I have four more minutes of live stream. And so that was just in time, too, because I had just come back to the studio screen because I had.
Oh, wow.
On the screen. And then next thing I know, I looked up and there were your call. And it was a caller from the Memphis area code. Also, but that person hung up, so maybe they were just listening and didn't have a comment. But what's new?
Okay.
What's hot?
Well, I hear you're talking about fetishes. What fetishes are you talking about? Were you talking about your own or anybody else?
I incorporated talking about my own. I'm not, you know, but sexual fetishes. You know, because we can talk about general fetishes and pretty much getting the conversation started. And,
right.
Yeah, and I've always had an interest in fetishes and talking about fetishes and all, but a friend of mine, you probably network with Demetra Ekemis, she's an erotica author, and she writes books about women who are sexually dominant, you know, of men.
Mm-hmm.
And those type of fetishes. And so she and I were corresponding with one another last week, and she said, well, I'm at a fetish conference in Tampa. And I was like, wow, that seems so interesting. And like last week the topic was surviving. So that's when we really need to talk to you too. Last week we were talking about surviving divorce and breakups and heartaches and moving on. So I was like, wow, fetish would be a good topic. Not to stay in that, you know, that was a good show, but so just go a whole other direction and talk about fetishes, just basically. So I'm sure you have run across, have been a relationship expert, run across those with certain type of fetishes.
I hear about that stuff.
Me, I believe we all have one or two fetishes, something that we are obsessed with in a healthy way.
I hear that in a healthy way, but I guess. I don't know. I think people tend to keep them very private. They're locked away.
Yeah.
You know, whatever it is they're into, you're not going to hear about. So when I saw that, I was like, wow, people publicly talking about the fetishes. Wow.
But on my Twitter page, I share it where there are fetish clubs, and I guess there's like the top fetish clubs in the world are when, you know, people that like to dress up in costumes, you know, in support of their fetishes. You know, if goth culture or other cultures, you know, go to the fetish clubs, and some clubs have like fetish weekends. And I posted this documentary about the fetish club lifestyle worldwide, like the top fetish clubs in America and England and other places. It's amazing documentary.
Wow.
Well,
the fetish I have is I don't know. I don't know if I have any. But I do like men in uniform, if that's a fetish. That's the only thing.
It's like what?
I like it. I like men in uniform. That's the only fetish.
Oh, see? Yeah.
I think the guy in uniform looks great.
Yeah, all clean. All neat, all polished, all together. Yes.
Yeah, that's very cute.
Yes, it is.
Other than that, I'm not interested in all that bondage or getting dressed up. None of that. But if my guy comes over in a lovely suit or a uniform, very nice, that does it for me nicely. But no, can't say anything else out there excites me in a big way.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, I see that. Because I like that. I like to see a polished person, a polished guy. You know,
yeah.
I agree with you.
That's good.
It's certain looks, like certain grooming techniques that that might be like a turn on to me also. You know, of guys, if it's like a well shaped beard. Or something, you know. I don't know if that could be. But you know, certain things can fall into a fetish if you're obsessive with it, you know. And so, I love to see like a well groomed beard. You're the person who wears a beard, you know. And then sometimes when people don't normally wear beards, and I see them with a beard, it's just something about it. I don't know. Maybe I'm fixated with Santa Claus. But really.
Not much into beards, but
because that's why I'm thinking it's because really I'm not a beard person. That's what I'm saying. But when I see a really nice beard, it's just awesome. Like Common, the rap singer, actor, you know, like a nice beard, or like Bradley Cooper. My attorney right now, he has a real nice beard. You know, it's just something about like real nice beards. I think because some men have trouble growing beards, you know.
If they're shaped nicely.
I just put that in the category like polished suit look.
Nice.
So you don't have to come in with all that. Chains and whips. Just come in a nice suit.
Come in with a nice suit. Have your shoes shine. Be
and
looking
smell
well.
Good.
Smell all. Have some Polo aftershave. I love Polo, and that'll do me. I'm happy. Nothing else. That's cool. I think I'm not like. I don't think I'm obsessive about men looking groomed, but I do like, I guess from being a child, my dad was, you know, he's a man of God. So, like, if he was going to a church meeting, he would spend hours in the bathroom getting ready. And when he came out, he always smelled really nice.
Wow.
And his shoes were always so shiny you could look in them.
Exactly.
You know, they were
shiny. That's what I love. Yeah, you know, I was in the ROTC as a preteen, and that was something that we were taught to always stay polished. That one year I was in ROTC, and so that is something that, and then in personal and professional development classes, that's something I always learned that we ladies and gentlemen, especially, should have polished shoes and polished belts and everything. So when I'm like you, when everything coordinate and it's just polished and groomed on a man, it just is so right.
Yeah, lovely. I don't mind him a little bit ruffled up too. I also got.
And you know what? Because sometimes that well put together, a casual look is hot too.
I don't mind a little ruffled casual look. That's nice too. But when we're going out, because you know, when you're looking the business from top to tail, I'm like, yeah, come on, let's go. You know, it's lovely if you're wearing a great dress and he's properly dressed, you're both smelling good. Wow, you're ready to hit the town. That is a nice feeling. That's a nice feeling. Yeah, that's
wow.
Nice.
Well, I from the 901 area code called back, so let's see what's going on.
Okay.
Hello, friend from 901. Who is this?
It sounds like all girls on here, but it's a man in the house now.
Hey, good. Hello, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good. How are y'all?
We're good.
We're doing
hi.
Great. I'm Beth, and my friend Ebony Empress from England is online. She hosts the show here also. So what's your name?
My name is Mark.
Mark? Okay.
Hi, Mark.
And you are in, can I say, Memphis?
Yeah.
Okay, not too far from where I'm at. I'm in Jackson, Mississippi. You're north of me.
Yeah,
so, are you calling to talk about a fetish or just to say hi?
Once y'all start talking, I like to, you know, clean up pretty well. I'm a well-suited guy, but she's like, ooh, okay. But, you know, I need to have
I love your voice. I know that.
After
you
a while,
sound
I began
pretty
to
cute.
Think about, like your topic of fetishes. I don't know. It's something with me and the like women's panties. Like the I guess it's like the leopard and the pink or the leopard and the red. Something. I don't know what it is, but so it. Yeah, it's nice.
Oh wow.
I agree with you. I like that myself, and I've talked about my fascination with Prince as a little girl, and that's one thing that I liked about Prince. He used to wear those leopard panties.
Wow.
But then also, and myself, I like that too. I thought you guys thought that was sexy, like leopard stuff, tastefully. Tasteful leopard print.
The print, I don't know what it is, but yeah, that does feel like if you have that, there it is. That's all we need. We're ready now.
Oh,
that's
wow.
all you need. Okay. Wow.
I got my suit on. I'm spiffed up a little bit. And then, you know, you got your leopard on, then we straight.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's cool.
I was going to say, just this morning, I have a white leopard dress, actually, which is a summer one. And I was just looking at it and saying, should I wear that today? Because I really love that dress. But whenever I wear it, everybody goes mad. And it is that leopard print, I think.
It's a leopard print dress? Did you hear her? She said every time she wear her leopard print dress. Leopard prints and then like zebra prints and stuff like that. But leopard prints. Wow.
Yeah. That's a cute one. And that's a nice little fetish. I hope you haven't got other things associated, but maybe we don't want to talk about it.
but I was amazed at some of the fetishes that I had never heard of doing my research for the show. You know, I'm like, oh, my, wow. You know, but you can't say, oh, that's not right, because personally, they have their right if they're not hurting anybody and not in themselves to have that fetish, you know.
I tell you what's really strange, you know, like I once dated this guy, and he always wanted to keep your panties. It's like, what? Why? taking them home. Like, what?
Well, you know what? I can't even relate to him because there's something about boxers that I like. And some briefs. Some, like those briefs. But, you know, There's something about boxers.
Well, I don't know.
I know my first, you know, I've been married twice, but you can ask, like, my ex that I almost married and my first husband. There's something about crisp, nice underwear that just turns me on, and I just can't let go. I even like to put them on.
Wow.
So you knew a guy that used to keep them. You know what? That kind of reminds me of one of my male BFFs. He liked to give underwear to his female friends. A platonic male friend of mine, I'm talking about whenever I visit him, he always have happy bags of underwear for the friends in his life, for the females in his life. So I guess he has a fascination with underwear also. I love to visit him because I know I'm going to get at least maybe 3 to 5 pair of panties.
Oh, that's
nice. He's a platonic friend, but he likes to give women panties.
Wow.
So
he doesn't want them back. He doesn't also want them
back. He likes to give panties to his friends. And nice panties at that.
Yeah, but he's probably, when you guys are gone, he's probably thinking about all the things, about how you're wearing them. He's thinking about what you look like in them. He's gone mad on that one.
Maybe this is magic. Yeah, but he's a platonic friend, but he likes to give out happies.
But I don't know if I'd want to take them because I'd be thinking, tonight you're going to be...
Wow.
And
Mark? Yeah, very interesting. Mark, have you heard of any other fetishes? Because in my research, I was shocked to hear about the one where some people get turned on by farts. I just could not believe that, you know, but I'm not knocking it because some of my listeners might get turned on. You know, some of the listeners might get turned on by a person, losing their manners. And I'm that turns on some people.
Yeah, you never know. It's probably someone on the other end right now, like, oh, my goodness, yeah.
I know.
Someone needs to do it right now, but I'm like, I don't know.
Well, some of us are so self-conscious about, oh, my God, about, you know, dropping the F-bomb, and there's people out there that get turned on by it. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, someone was here earlier, and they asked me. It's kind of weird. Someone asked me that same question. A woman asked me that question earlier today.
No way! What did she ask you?
I don't know. It was kind of in the area of would it be disrespectful? I know if I farted, and I was like,
wow.
And I'm like. I didn't know what to think. Like, I didn't know it was a fetish of some people to.
Oh my God!
That liked it.
He's messed up. That is mad.
That was a female that asked him that. So was that a love interest or just a friend?
Oh, it's considered a friend, but not too long ago we had a small encounter where it led on to something else, but it hasn't been nothing too much since then.
So what you need to do is, when you know you're going to see her, make sure you have, like, loads of fruit in advance and all those things that make you go.
Wow. And Mark began to sound like Dane Cook now. I love Dane Cook. He's one of my favorite comedians. Are you in entertainment, Mark? Do you host a show here at Blog Talk Radio, too? Or you just love Blog Talk Radio like we do?
I used to host a show on here. I actually hosted Yeah, I did. I haven't been on it in a minute, but somehow, I know I was following you on here, I believe. Someone sent me through the email. They kind of sent it to me, forwarded it to me, and I just kind of got on and I thought it was interesting, you know.
The topic.
So I want to hear and try to figure out what people were saying. And I was kind of interested. Made a call.
Yeah, because Ebony was talking about she's surprised that some people talk openly, but I know a lot of people that talk openly about their fetishes, you know. I kind of grew up kind of in the goth culture, and so people that like to go to raves and wear black and into like maybe, you know, like the Angelina type, because I mentioned an example, like Angelina when she was into Billy Bob Thornton about how she was so obsessed with his blood. But I grew up in kind of in that culture and some few other cultures, and some people are open about their fetishes, but then some keep it as a subculture. Like you were saying, Ebony, some people just keep it amongst whoever they share their fetish with.
Yeah, I'm just always amazed at the human mind and how deep and wide and mad people go, you know, the stuff that makes them excited. But I think it's interesting, right? It is.
Mm-hmm.
It is. Kind of things that will make other people turned on. I mean, it's a bit like if you're pregnant, you know, things that people get stuck in when they're women will want to obsess on when they're pregnant, like, I've never done it, you know, I've had kids, but I've never been that, like, I must eat this or I must eat that. So I don't know if there's a correlation between fetishes and the things that people want or women want when they're pregnant. That's an interesting thing. But I don't know. I think, you know, it's whatever turns you on. I think everybody has something that makes them very excited. But I think it's funny when you hear it, you know. Something very strange, and it's like, wow, you know. And I always ask when I meet someone, like, what's your fetish? What is it? And often guys don't want to tell you at first, and then they go, do that, leave it on. No, don't take it off. Leave it on. You're like, oh.
You guys can be very directive. So I guess that's like fetish inspired, right?
Yeah, I never really thought of it that way, but I guess that is some type of, I mean, if, you know, if you're in, you know, that type of mode where you are about to, you know, do the do, and your guy tell you, no, don't do that, yeah, do this, do that, I guess that is some type of fetish in his mind, you know, for you to not do certain things that you would want to do.
And something that I had said at the beginning of the show also was about, like, how guys can maybe like a brunette, but if he only gets turned on by brunettes, that's considered a fetish. Only, you know, you have a type. So some people have, you know, some people are just obsessed with certain types. You know? Some people are just like, some women, I guess, like buns, and some guys are boob guy. You hear guys say, I'm a boob guy, I'm a leg guy. So I guess in a way, that's a fetish. If you know, I gotta have those boobs, I gotta have those legs, and then as women, you know, saying, and then my same sex listeners, you know, we all have whatever, something that we like about certain people.
That's true. I went into a shop, right, and it being summer here, you know, like I was wearing like not a mini skirt, but like a shorter dress just above my knees. And I have really quite muscular legs, my running.
Uh-huh.
And this Asian guy came up to me and he was like, oh, I just love your legs. And I was like, are you mad? You're mad. He was like, muscly legs, just do it for me. Muscly legs on women. And I was like, no, I hate my, you know, I really hate that. You know, and men are always, I do find men who just get really obsessive about it. How did you get them like that? And I'm like, no, that's running legs, right? They're running legs. He's like, oh, I saw it and I had to come and tell you they are the greatest legs. I love them. That's amazing.
Your legs have veins.
Yeah, I was like, oh my God, let me get out of this shop quick. The man's got problems, right?
Okay.
But
now, if I see your legs on Facebook page.
Yeah, I'm like, you know what, they've always been musty and I really hate them. But he was like, no, they're the best things ever. I really.
When there's something about you that you might not really be a fan of and then other people just obsess over? Did that ever happen to you, Maury?
Yeah, I'm like, what? It makes me like, what? Are you serious? But there are a lot of different ones, though. Yeah, I mean, you could do research and you'll come up, obviously, on
millions.
Crazy ones. You know, there are people with toes and toenails and, you know, even the hair follicles on your head and your leg. I don't know. A lot of people have different ones, you know.
We touched on that about feet. And guys, to me, I happen to like guys with nice feet. So to me, guys, you know, take care of those feet. You know, because we're just like guys like feet, nice feet and hands. We like nice feet and hands also. Right, Ebony, when you take out that nice suit, like to see the nice stuff too. I mean, some people like that. Nothing wrong with the ruggedness, but what if, you know, women like to do certain things.
No, there's a nail barber I go to, and it's a new woman, in London. My friend's just opened one, and she's a black woman, and that's quite unusual because most of the nail bars are like Korean or Vietnamese or whatever. Anyway, this nail bar has only been open a couple of months, and she said her biggest customer, the biggest number of customers come from men. They come and get their feet done all the time. And they're not ashamed to come in. You know, I went in there to have my nails done, and I was having a pedicure, and this guy said, oh, come on, hurry up, because I need to have mine done. I was like, what?
Exactly.
She said it's true. They queue up in here to have their feet done, their hands done. Of course, they don't want their nails painted, but they want their fingers manicured nicely.
Yeah.
And they're asking for back massages and their toes done. And the guy said, well, why shouldn't we look good like you guys? You know, we want to be moisturized and we want our feet nice. And I said to him, that's so gay.
No, it's not. That's not. You know, we used to use the term metrosexual so much, but that's good.
I was teasing him. I went, you are so
gay. I know.
Gay.
And I guess he looked at you too, like, well, you're not talking me out of this.
I'm going to get this today, regardless of what you say.
What do you think about that, Mark? Are you one that either take care of yourself at home or go out and get a mani pedi? Are you one of those guys that your medicine cabinet and your counter is filled with nice products?
I think I'll go in my cabinet and do that. I really haven't gotten to the point where I'm like, where I can go out in public and go into a nail shop and try to get all of that done. Now, I do know some men that actually go in there, and a lot of people, I mean, you get a lot of different opinions on that, though. Like, a lot of guys are like, oh, yeah, I go too. But then there might be another guy looking at you on the side like, what? What are they talking about? Like, why do you go in the nail shop? It's specifically for women. Huh? And then, you know, I don't know. Yeah. You get different opinions from everybody.
No,
I haven't
gotten
to the point yet.
Yeah, but you handle your at-home maintenance just well. And that's good right there.
Yeah, but Mark, I'll take you to a bar.
Yeah,
and I'll hold your hand while you do it. And I tell you what, I have a friend in the States, and he came over here, and the first thing I noticed, he had the most beautiful fingers. And when you meet a guy that's got really great hands and feet.
Oh, my God. And then you look at your hands and like, oh.
Yeah, it's the most sexiest thing. Like, you know, I looked at his feet. I was like, those are beautiful.
Yeah.
Really nicely done. No hard skin. Nobody tearing up your bed sheets. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right? It's nice. It is nice.
Yeah, that's real nice. And we're not talking against the rugged hands, because I like some ruggedness too. But those nice hands and nice feet are just awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And he said he gets his done all the time. This American guy, he said, I get them done. I don't care. I go in and I have a woman who does mine and I love it. And after she does my back massage, and I go in every 2 or 3 weeks and I have them done. And I was
that's
like,
right,
wow.
Secret, but, you know, he's a public figure. But there are a lot of guys that are just average, everyday guys that get things done just like Ryan Seacrest. Because he amazes me the way he talks about and on Instagram, show his manicures and all that. And
nice.
I listen on air with Ryan on iHeartRadio, and he just goes all in, you know. And that's just part of what guys do now.
Yeah, I don't think it makes you less of a man. I just think it's nice. It's nice for the women, but then also as well, you know, if a guy's rugged, I don't have a problem with that either.
Yeah.
I'm kind of fine if, you know, you're all rough and rugged. Okay, that's
yeah.
different. But I think it's nice to have nice hands. I think women are a bit more open to you being with them when you got nice hands. I do check the hands. I don't care about the feet, but the hands need to be nice hands. Right. They need to be not greasy, oily, dirty nails. No.
Yeah.
No. No.
I agree. And it's not like Mark does,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. You need to scrub those nails, cut them low. I'll do your manicure.
Wow.
The hands
wow.
are important,
wow.
I think.
But
there you go.
Wow. Because I could talk about that beauty all forever. And you had mentioned general fetishes. Yeah, because in just general conversation, not even just talking about it, but most fetishes are sexual fetishes, but there are some people
yeah.
that have fetishes for certain foods.
Yeah.
And I guess certain clothing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
It's just the whole topic of fetishes or something. I've seen an image of a young lady in a tub of a cheese puffs. You know, and she's obsessed with cheese puffs, apparently, that she'd like to just be covered in them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I think you got to be careful, though, Beth. I think you got to be careful how you share those things with people because I got a friend, right, and she's really into high boots, right? She wears the PVC boots. This is her
yeah.
sex thing, right? She likes
yeah.
to dress up in a tight dress with the high heel boots. Well, she met this guy and she told him, right? This is years ago. It was so funny. And anyway, they met somewhere, and he said, well,
Mark,
you know, what's your fetish?
Mark, saying goodbye. Thank you, Mark, for calling in. Please call in again. Friday, we'll be talking sports and other hot topics. Okay.
Bye, Mark.
Yeah, thank you.
He's a cutie.
Yeah, I wanted to know what was the name of his show. He said he follows me, so I need to find him.
Tell you about
yeah. And what were you saying?
Oh, okay.
And what were you saying?
No, I was saying my friend. She has this fetish.
Uh-huh.
Are you there?
Ebony? I'm listening. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
and your friend?
No, I was saying
where the
yeah, she loves dressing up, right?
Uh-huh.
And she told this new guy she was dating that that's what she likes. So he went out and he bought all this gear, like boots, a dress, blah, blah, blah. Then he told her to wear it, right? But you see,
yeah.
her thing was not about someone buying it. It was about her appearing in it. And that being the turn on. So she'd come and visit you and you'd be surprised. But he just heard what she said and went and bought the stuff. And you know what? She said it was the worst sexual occasion ever. Because she was so not into it.
Because she lost
right?
the power probably that she gets from it is buying the items and picking out the items
yeah.
for herself.
Yeah.
Because that's powerful to pick at your own.
That's
even though
right.
that was a nice gesture of him. That's her power. Because I've dressed like that before, and that was like part of my life. And that's like it's powerful to buy those items and put together
yeah.
your you know it's, when you dress that way that's a well we all. self-expression, but that is, she was expressing herself, and by him buying it, he's like putting, giving her an identity. You know, she might would have bought the same items, but she didn't buy it. I guess if he had taken her shopping and let her have the power to pick out the items, it would have been probably a better experience.
Yeah, she said it didn't do anything for her, and
and
that's why I say people should be a little bit careful about how they share with people what it is that they like or they don't like, because telling someone doesn't mean that it would work that way with that person.
But he might should have asked her. Well, I would like to. I know you like these certain type of clothes. I would like to. But he wanted to surprise her, so yeah. So you didn't mention that. So he was trying to surprise her, but he probably should have mentioned it to her first, and she probably would have said, "Well, I appreciate." She might would have said, "Okay, but let me pick the clothes."
Yeah, exactly.
You know, let me pick the stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess he called himself surprising her.
Yeah, he turned up with the stuff like, "Come on, put this on for me," and she was like, "Oh, that doesn't work."
Oh, wow. That's good you shared that. Some people might wonder, well, and some people might say, well, I'll buy this, but so-and-so is into this, so I'll buy that. You know, a lot of my Purple Pizza listening, people that love Prince, and a lot of people like to dress by Minneapolis and Prince-inspired ways from early days to present. And, you know, I'm sure that is a form of fetish when people like certain artists. Certain artist style, like Michael Jackson's, and those that love morale. You know, those are kind of like fetishes. Those that love Justin. There's your phone.
Sorry, that's my phone. Sorry.
Okay, I didn't know if you had gone off the air, so I was like, okay.
No. It's my phone. That was my alarm telling me it's time to get ready for work.
But you were early. You're early. Yeah. Well, I wanted to wake up and listen to you. What time does your show air now? Your morning show still 11:30 my time.
Yeah, it's.
It's late at night my time, and it's 5:30 your time.
No, I'm on now 7:00 in the morning because I'm no longer with Tanika because she can't do the early mornings.
Oh.
So I'm now doing it on my own, and I start at 7 a.m. And that's probably 5 a.m. Eastern. Central, it'll probably be, I don't know, 4 a.m. or 3 a.m. or 2 a.m. or 1 a.m.
Okay,
I don't know.
You do it 7. Oh, okay, so that's easier for me then because I'd be up getting ready for my show. So, okay, good, because usually around you was doing it like 5:30 or 4:30, and it was 11:30.
Yeah.
So a lot of times I would be asleep.
No,
so
we'll be now.
I'm glad to know that. Are you broadcasting Friday morning?
Yes, I'll be on Friday morning. Friday morning, I'll be back.
So you come on at 7, so that means it would be 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock my time. Yeah. So it'd probably be 7. It'd be 1 o'clock. So I should be able to tune in. I'm glad I asked you then. So more like I'm usually up then. I sleep like early late night, and I'll wake up early, you know, 1 o'clock. So I should be able to call in and so on, because I've been trying my best. Now, what's the topic today?
Well, we've not got a special topic for Rise and Shine. But, I just have people drop in at sometimes, but really, what I try and do is just do a devotion. Then, and my devotion is just now positive conversations. We read a book. We've been looking at Don Miguel Ruiz, his book. Going to be talking about the Four Agreements this Friday. Then we talk about the news, what's going on in the news. We talk about health and fitness. Yeah, just things to start your day, really. So it's not like
I just said the show about the royal baby when the baby's name was announced. So I did a show about the royal baby. So y'all still celebrating? I seen when the prince had made his first appearance a few days ago.
Yeah.
You know, since he and Catherine and the baby made their appearance.
Yep. Yeah, the world is excited about a new baby. But
yeah.
I did see that. I saw him when you were on, but I was at work when you were on, so I couldn't lock in. But I did see that you were celebrating the birth.
Yeah, I'm very happy.
I was like, you Americans are more into it than the people in the UK.
I noticed that. You see how the American media just camped out. I was like, oh my God, American media is just invading the place.
Yeah. Well, they were worse than people here. Like, I don't think people were bothered in the UK, but Americans, wow, you guys. It's like, wow. But yeah, I suppose that shows the relationship between Americans and you people from the UK.
Yeah.
We do have that bond between us, and it's amazing. So,
yeah.
It's all good.
I don't know if he was on the air that time, Pianki called in. I don't know if he mentioned it one time when you was on the show or not, but I remember Pianki said, well, maybe sometimes people won't find love in their own country. They should go outside of their country. And I was like, that's exactly what you promote. You know, people should sometimes, especially when it comes to Americans and UK citizens.
I agree. I'm actually trying to, I'm going to bring back my Thursday show, but that's one of the things I want to do on the show.
Okay, that's what I was wanting to know, what the topic was for today, so you're not broadcasting.
No,
today.
I'm not broadcasting tonight. No, I've got a show, but it's going to be coming real soon. Not this week, but probably next week, where I'm going to be bringing, hopefully introducing some Americans to some UK singles and trying to bring some singles together. That's the new plan I have. But
you should get, you know what? Who Americans love so much, they get a lot of work here in the States. What's his name? Idris Elba?
Yeah, I know.
And I know he said he's supposed to be single, right? You should get him on as a guest.
He's single.
Have you ever been on the show?
No, and he's so hard to locate.
Really? And definitely let me know when he is on. I will co-host.
I'll kick him out. I'm going to try and kick him out. He's on my Facebook. I'm going to try. I'm on one of his Facebooks. He's not on mine.
Uh-huh.
But I'm going to try and locate him, definitely. He is the biggest, one of the biggest ever.
And then he's so down to earth, and you know, I think he started out as a DJ, and he still loved the DJ, and it's just amazing how humble he is.
He is lovely. Yeah, that's the right kind of star. Not too big. Eyes aren't too large that he doesn't keep his feet on the ground. So good for him.
Work. I'm glad you called in. I wondered if you were around, and sure enough, and I was like, oh, that's Ebony.
Yeah.
And I'm glad Mark called in and shared his thoughts.
Yeah, that was good. But I'll listen out for you again and definitely try and hook in while I can. Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, you're so right, though, and sometimes people need to be, sometimes people certain, especially if it's a fetish that might spook some people, people should, you know, be themselves and open, but, you know, feel your way by exposing, like, fetishes you think that might surprise some people, you know, but it's important to make people know what your fetish is, because you don't want to be unhappy.
No, exactly. But
your new mate might. And then I'm thinking some people are in long time relationships and married. Some people still don't realize what some people's fetishes are because they don't want to, you know, spook one another.
They don't want to let them know. They don't want to let them know.
Yeah.
It might be
scary. And you know what? Before you called in, I was trying to think of my topic for next Wednesday, and I was thinking about secrets. And I think you have talked about secrets before.
Yeah, I did.
And I thought about talking about next Wednesday. If secrets, is it healthy to have secrets? Because I'm one of those people, I blurt out and tell you everything. But then, is it healthy to have secrets? And but, you know, not bad secrets, but just secrets, little fun secrets. You know, because some people might say it depends on the secret, and I agree. Because secrets that people really need, some things that are hurtful and really important and detrimental to your relationship, you know, wait a second. But, but you know, like, is it okay to have secrets, Ebony?
I think it depends. No, I think it depends on the secret, and I think, but I think you should always have a little mystery. Don't tell everybody everything. Make it a little bit mysterious so they want to find out. And you know, if you leave, if you make everything open, then there's nothing to discover. It, like, you know, I think then when someone gets close to you, they get to know, you know, more, and it just enhances the relationship. But, you know, I don't think there should be any, you know, major secrets kept, but you need to keep something for yourself. So
okay,
you have a little
have
mystery. Yeah, a little bit of mystery is good.
Okay, so I think that is a good subject matter. And I think you have talked about when to tell certain things or secrets on your show before. Because I think I listened to a show before in chat in the chat room when you talked about, you know, secrets or when to tell your significant other, your mate, partner, certain things. But it is okay to have mysterious secrets or to reveal certain things gradually.
Yeah. Because I think in time, you know, people will get to know you if they're around you long enough. But I think, you know, a little mystery is always sexy. I think that's very nice to see someone and go, I want to know what you're about. I'm going to take my time to get to know you because, you know, you seem to be interesting. It kind of is inviting, but the secrets that people, you know, some of the secrets, I think family secrets, stuff that people need to know are not, you know, I think it's important that they get to know and you don't keep them secret necessarily. And you find out very often things when people die. And I think that's very sad.
That's true.
Yeah, you know, you want to know in life. You don't want to know when the eyes are closed. Like a friend was telling me a secret that she is, she's a lesbian now, and her dad was a homosexual, and he hid it. He was married to her mother for years and years.
Wow.
And he had this secret life where he was a homosexual. Had a partner elsewhere, but never told his mother. Her mother never knew.
Oh, the mother didn't know, because I was about to say, some women know.
The mother didn't know.
The mother didn't know. Wow, that's very hurtful.
And when he died, he left a letter to all his children telling them that he really was a closet gay person.
No!
And she had problems with the sexuality.
And if she had known that, she would have understood her sexuality. She would have understood. That goes into a whole other area.
And he didn't tell her.
Wow.
Yeah, he wouldn't tell her. He didn't tell her. And he died with a secret, but told them in a letter. Yeah, very sad.
That was only to be revealed after his death.
Yeah. She said he was dying the week he was dying. They went to visit him. Everything was okay. He knew he was going to die that week. And it's like he had the letters posted.
Uh-huh.
And they actually arrived the day after he died. Yeah. So when they opened it, they were all in shock. But for her, it's like you saw me struggling with my sexuality all these years and you never said anything.
Yeah. He could have talked to her without revealing his sexuality, but comfort her and guided her.
Yeah, he never did it. He never did.
I'm heterosexual, but I have grown up around a lot of openly gay people and friends. And to be honest, by being friends with openly gay and also those in the closet, that helped me realize and be comfortable in my own skin with my heterosexuality, you know?
Yeah.
So when you have so many friends who are gay or bi, then sometimes some people would think she has so many gay friends and bi friends. I have friends of all, and she must be, you know. But my gay friends, they know I'm heterosexual, and they always wish for me to have a happy love life, you know.
Yeah.
But that is sad right there. Because it seemed like he could have done something. Even if he didn't want to reveal his own, because he probably could have provided her with some answers of and a lot less heartbreaking, breaking guys' hearts.
Yeah, and the thing was, for years she was saying she never had a relationship because she felt so confused and angry about the whole thing, and he knew what she was feeling. He never said anything. Kept it quiet, never said anything. And until he died. When he died, she found out. And we talked about it because we did. I used to volunteer for a center, and we worked together. And it was one of the things that she told me, you know, like, I'll never get over it, that he kept that as a secret all those years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, waiting until his death to reveal it.
Wow. Mm.
Yeah.
That was rather, I don't like to use that word selfish, but that was kind of selfish.
Very selfish. Very, I think.
Wow.
He didn't need to do that. He didn't really need to.
He had the both of, well, he had the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
Of a marriage and plus his closet lifestyle.
Yeah.
But yet his family did not know. Well, but of course his lover knew because he was the other man.
Yeah.
Wow.
And, you know, he said, I loved your mother. I never did anything to harm her, but, you know, I had, you know, for her to know about, but I have this life. And, you know, and, you know, I'm sorry, but this is how it was. Yeah, so.
Wow.
Yeah, so. Very sad to hear. I couldn't believe it. I was like, wow.
Yeah. Now, that's a secret. A secret. Now, that's a secret. Yeah. So, on that topic, as some people say, well, it depends on the secret. So secrets like that. Wow.
Yeah.
But then he probably was thinking, I don't want to hurt them. But then that hurt them after you passed away and left a letter.
And then wrong. It is wrong. Look,
I better go
because I got to jump in the shower.
That's right. Well,
I better go.
Well, thank you so much, and I will look like I'll be calling you and listening Friday morning.
All right, honey. Speak to you then.
Okay, thank you.
Much
love to all the UK friends. Okay.
I will. Thank you.
Hugs and kisses. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Okay, hugs to you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Wow, that's amazing. Ebony Empress called in at the 11th hour and shared time with us, and thank you, Mark, in Memphis, right north of where I'm at. Memphis, home of Memphis Grizzlies, and home of Elvis, a lot of places. I have a lot of friends in Memphis. And so thank you, Mark. Love your voice. And see, he's hosted a show here before. You know, I can hear voices, radio voices, you know. And he has had an amazing voice, and I hope he calls in again real soon. So thank you to the friend who forwarded the show promo to Mark in Memphis. But I thank you all for tuning in tonight. It's been a fun broadcast, and it's It's time to begin the conclusion. Next live broadcast will be Friday, a.m. And the Saints play Friday night. I know a lot of games are playing tonight, so shout out to the five or six games that are happening tonight. If I'm not mistaken, the Redskins and Philadelphia meet up, and that's going to be good. And I know a game's going to be on ESPN, a game's going to be on NFL Network, and some of you can watch all those games with the whatever type of cable that you're hooked up with. I'm with Comcast and get certain channels, NFL Network and ESPN, of course. But some, like people with DirecTV, I think you can get, like, some of everything and some packages with Comcast. But Friday, you know, this is my birthday weekend, and no better way than to kick it off watching the Saints-Kansas City game Friday evening. And big much love to Coach Sean and Mickey Loomis and Greg Benzel and Doug Miller and the Benson family and the whole Who Dat Nation. And do y'all thing, do like the Cowboys did on Sunday night. Start the season off right and win. And the Cowboys, if I'm not mistaken, they play Friday night also. But, you know, we'll talk about the schedule and the schedules. And hopefully my friend from Baltimore, Cosmo, Matthew Lifeguard on Facebook, will call in and talk about the Redskins. I do love the Redskins. And he's right there in Baltimore. That's his team. And he was talking on Facebook, and I'm like, hey, you need to call in Friday. He's called in before, and I'm like, you need to call in Friday. And give us the 411 of what's going on with the Redskins. So we should have a fun time talking. There's a lot going on, you know, with the what's going on in baseball. That's a whole show by itself, talking about what's happening in baseball, not to mention Tiger Woods. The champ is here. Tiger Woods has done it again, you know, and more hot stories to talk about. And, you know, that's the cover story to talk about the NFL season starting. And, of course, I want to talk about the Saints playing their first game. My other favorite team, Dallas, I already did that thing and opened the season right. So now my other favorite team in this region, New Orleans, do that thing with when they play Kansas City. I know Kansas City fans, you guys will be calling in too, huh? You know, feel free to call in, all sports fans and NFL fans. You know, we're in this together. This is all about fun, and we need to share our information, right? Right. I was seeing on the news tonight where Mo Williams, he's a native of Jackson, you guys know, he's with the Portland Trail Blazers now. He got a $5 million deal, I think, in 4 years. You know, I just heard on the news tonight, so congratulations to Mo Williams, Jackson, Mississippi zone. So this has been an amazing broadcast, and this is just the top of it, just a touch base about fetishes. So what you see, that was just the beginning, you know, just pretty much talking about the most known about fetishes, talking about the definition of fetishes and the psychological aspect of fetishes, but, you know, we can delve into a whole other world of people that really want to talk about their fetishes. You know, like Evan and I was talking about, you know, some of us have to be careful, I guess, who we share the fetishes with. But, you know, it's all about being who you are, too, if you're not hurting nobody and you're not hurting yourself. Right? Right. So thank you for supporting the show and effectively networking with me and sharing feedback and constructive criticism. And those of you that would like to be guests, please don't hesitate to let me know and send me an email. Those of you that want me to play your music, definitely send music that is, you know, quality sound music also that we can share and I can add on the playlist, okay? And if you want to talk more about your music, please do. I like to invite people, but I like it when people tell me, hey, I want to be on your show. If you want to be an advertiser, let me know that too, okay? Because this is a perfect outlet to advertise your business, most definitely. But I really appreciate you for being so supportive and tuning in to the program, Culture Shock Entertainment Reports still working on the improvement of the show and all that. And wow, been on since, been going on 2.5 hours, and I can't believe that. Wow. So it's time to begin the conclusion. Again, thank you. If your birthday is today, happy birthday to you. And, you know, my birthday, I'm celebrating the entire month, and August babies and summer babies, you guys rock. I mentioned that something about Leos, and one of my Facebook friends, darling Nikki, said that Virgos, you know, do it better. So, okay. But, again, thank you so much for tuning in. You are amazing. And I said that I was going to provide with you, those of you that did not have your information regarding the print shows. And I'm trying to see if I don't visit citywinery.com. And I want to share with you the number. But visit citywinery.com. And the shows are August the 20th through the 24th. And it's Prince Presents Shelby J. and Liv Warfield. Subscribe to Dr. Funkenberry's website. And also join Springcast and check out the Springcast that was that broadcast on Sunday. And check it out and listen to all the information and what was discussed and chatted about in regards to Prince Presents Shelby J. and Liv Warfield. Really amazing. But it's time to conclude, because if I don't conclude, you know how it is, it'll conclude for me. So again, thank you, thank you, thank you. And until next time, God bless and spread love and be you and be true, okay? Thank you. You've been listening to Matters of the Heart, Wednesday, Cut the Shark Entertainment Reports, and we've been talking about fetishes.
Tell me I got great legs to figure out why you make me bend. Does not compute. Does not compute. You think you're special, well, so do I. Why do special women make me cry? Does not compute, sugar. Does not compute. Must be something in the water they drink. It's been the same with every girl I've had. Must be something in the water they drink. Why else would a woman wanna treat a man so badly? Some people think I'm kinda smart. Why must a brother stop at you before he starts? Do not compute. Yeah, do not compute. Some people think I'm kinda cute. What's your problem? It does not compute. It does not compute. Oh, 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 yeah, yeah. Must be something in the water that you, it's been the sweetest girl I've had. Be something in the water that you. Why else would a woman want to treat a man so bad? So bad. Her name is Cassandra, and she plays like this. Water to drink, spin the same with a girl I've had. Must be something in water they drink. Why else would a woman want a tree to turn around? Why else would a woman want a tree to turn around? Why else would a woman want a tree to man? Treat a man so.